Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
Notice when we re-reviewed The Exorcist, some of our scores went up.
Well, can't beat it. It was all tens.
Yeah.
Did we all give tens to Spidey? Okay.
Well, the score was on Exorcist bound to go up. We were reviewing the new one, so we had appreciation for the original.
Yeah. The more I think about the Exorcist, the more I don't like it. The new one.
It's on Peacock now. I still don't hate it, but it's just so average.
Yeah, blah.
All right. Well, before we move on, Desmond, tell everybody about Desmond's Flicks, man. What's going on?
Yeah. So Desmond's Flicks is my YouTube channel. Was doing that for a few years. Took a little bit of time off, but now I'm coming back, starting to do the podcasting thing again, getting that going again, and talk about horror movies, B movies. Gonna be getting into like talking about extreme horror novels soon. So just kind of anything horror related.
So have you seen the new Exorcist? Of course you have.
I have not yet. It's on my list to watch. One of my buddies, he enjoyed it, so he was like, "You gotta watch it, like see what you think." But it's definitely on my list. I've heard conflicting results from folks.
I liked it when I first saw it, and then it sort of wore off.
It happens. Yeah, Brian and I didn't care for it from the go. But Brian, you said you don't hate it, right?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't know. I think The Exorcist kind of set the bar for those type of movies, and everything else just kind of, it's like the same thing repeated over and over.
Yeah, not only that, but actually using having the balls to use the name.
I still think
that's the biggest problem.
I still think the two girls that were in it did a phenomenal job.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. They were pretty creepy. But had it not been an Exorcist movie, it'd have been fine. I mean,
had it been in the top
10 or anything, but
like two possessed girls in the wood or something like that would have been okay.
I don't know. That seems to be the way most of those possession movies go. The possession of enter name here.
Yeah. Enter name.
Although Talk to Me was like that was a good one.
Yeah. That did something different though.
Oh yeah.
Instead of using the traditional Ouija board, they came up with their own thing. And
it's David Gordon Green. He doesn't have a single creative bone in his body, not even in his pinky.
Oh, shots fired. Jesus Christ, man. You didn't even like Pineapple Express?
I mean, if he does comedy, like he's decent, but it's like on multiple rewatches, it just gets less funny.
Doesn't stand up. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, it's like you have to be smoking Pineapple Express to enjoy it, right?
Pretty much.
Desmond, I kind of posed the question, is it just him or is it his writing partner? Because Danny McBride's been involved with a lot of these projects.
True. I mean, that could be a part of it. But it's like,
Danny McBride's funny, though.
Yeah, but
I wonder how much, like, he's involved, though, in the writing process. Like, how much is him in there, and then how much is David Gordon Green, like, writing plus directing? Because really, it's, like, his name all over
Sure.
His brand of, you know, hackery is in there, so.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I'm not a fan.
All right. So not so cool, David Gordon Green, not so cool. But Desmond, I think you remember how the show works, right? We start out with this little thing called Cool of the Week. So we gotta play catch up here for sure. What have you checked out? Book, movie, video game, TV show? What's your Cool of the Week?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with a book this week. So I read, and it's probably a couple years older, but it's an extreme horror novel by Stuart Bray called Violence on the Meek. And
Violence on the Meek. All right.
Violence on the Meek. And the way that this story is structured is that it's coming from the point of view of a complete psycho. It's like his own diary before he unalives himself. And he tells his story about, like, hey, here's my life story. Here's what happened. I was on a goal to take out as many people as possible. And you just go through, like, his crazy life. And it just keeps amping up crazier and crazier. It's like a more extreme version of Natural Born Killers is how I would describe it. But yeah, it was one that I could not put down. I read it pretty much in one sitting. Highly recommend it for those that are into more extreme horror.
Nice. Does it compare to American Psycho at all, or have you read that?
I have. It's a bit more depraved in a lot of ways.
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right, I'm adding this to my reading list for next year. I'm on my final book of the year, Brian. 24 books, man. Granted, I caught up. Some of them were Sandman graphic novels, but, you know, a book is a book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in next. What did I watch? Oh, I caught the first four episodes of Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, the Godzilla.
Oh, God.
Okay, I knew you were going to have this.
What is that on?
Even hold on, Philip. I gotta go on my rant here. I knew you were gonna have this attitude.
I can't wait. Okay.
Because I believe you like Godzilla versus Kong more than I did.
I don't think so. In what universe was this?
You came on our episode of Stream Fiends or Action Returns, whichever one it was. And you were defending that movie. It's recorded.
No.
It's on the internet. It's out there forever.
Okay. All right.
But this was actually, so far through four episodes, it's a pretty decent show. It's the production value is pretty good. It ties in with the movies. It starts out with Kong. What was it? Kong Skull Island.
I didn't know it tied in with the movies.
Yeah, it jumps back and forth in time. You got the same character played by Kurt Russell and his son Wyatt Russell. And which when they do the transition from, they go from current time to past time, the transition, they look exactly the same.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And
I might check it out. It's on Apple
yeah,
Plus.
Yeah, it's on Apple Phil. TV.
Okay.
Apple has a lot of good shit, so I might give it a shot.
I will say my main problem with the movies is I do not care for the human characters.
Okay.
But with the lesser known cast in the show, I care about them a lot more. They're more interesting than the bigger name cast in the movie.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I can see that.
Is that when you're
with
gonna
the
be
new trailer coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe the show ties into that. I think it'll be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in the same universe, so.
I had no idea. See, I thought it was just some offshoot show. That's why I never watched it. But I guess now I'm going to kind of have to watch it because I'm sure you're going to make us see Godzilla X Kong or whatever the fuck it is.
I didn't make us see the for the main show. Okay. I didn't make us watch the other one. And you, but you came on that one.
Don't look up the wrong version of that.
Oh, shit. A porn parody of Godzilla Kong.
Oh.
But I'm enjoying it so far. Like, there's characters that were on the 2014 Godzilla movie that was on when San Francisco got attacked and the bridge, mm-hmm. the San Francisco bridge. There's a character that was up there. And like I said, they connect all the movies pretty good.
Oh, all right. So are they doing it, they're releasing them weekly, or did they, like, put them all, like, bingeable?
It's weekly. I think all streaming platforms. I think eventually they're going to go away from all that. I think they learned their lesson with people mm-hmm. binging an entire show and then canceling their account after.
Yeah.
Which, Lance, you fucking jinxed me. Uh-oh. I'm now paying, like, $20-something for Netflix.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, we got to pay for those Squid Games, man.
Oh, and I'm caught up to that. And
okay.
Yeah, me too.
Me and my daughter are having a blast with it. None of the people we picked made it to the final three.
Oh, wow. Oh, they're already up to three?
Yeah, which they're ooh, prolonging shit. This because
right.
I think the 29th of November was the next batch of episodes. And then the finale, they're mm-hmm. like December
6th. Ah, gotcha. So did they do the thing where they have to, like, take the needle and cut the cookie out?
Yep.
Oh, shit. Was that as hard as it looks like it would be?
Yeah, especially for the people that got the umbrella, which that guy that yes. chose the umbrella, they came uh-huh. in hating that guy immediately.
So they yeah. do team.
I'm kind of glad he got knocked out of it. He would, like, I could only handle so much to that dude.
Yeah, his thing was he gets nauseous when he gets nervous.
Oh, geez.
So he kept making these gagging sounds.
Yeah, it was super gross.
So is this like,
oh my God, get him out of here.
Is this like a part of like the regular, I've only seen like that first original season. Is this like an offshoot of
it's
that reality show version of it?
Yeah, it's a reality game show based on, like, they changed some of the games, which I like that because people thought they knew, oh, I know this game. I'll be able to beat mm-hmm. this, and then they'll introduce a new game that was not even in the show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so the prize money's up to, like, over $4.5 million. I keep saying billion. Million dollars.
It might as well be for what they're charging us for Netflix, dude.
Yeah. Every time they, because they cut to the scene where, you know, when the money starts dropping in that big bowl in the ceiling.
Yes.
I keep yes. telling my daughter, I was like, we paid for that.
Yeah. That's my dollar. It just slips in there.
But yeah.
I'm so behind on that stuff. I ended up canceling my Netflix a few months ago because I was like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Too many services.
After Squid Game, I keep my Netflix because my kids, they watch yeah. different things on Netflix. Like, they're like, oh, I'm watching this show. And I'm like, what the fuck mm-hmm. is that? I've never heard of it. It's just like these random shows they watch. That's why I keep Netflix. But if it wasn't for them, after the finale of Squid Game, I'd probably cancel it.
Yeah, now that Mike Flanagan's leaving Netflix officially, right, and going over to Prime, maybe yep. I will quit my Netflix. Because that was the main thing that kept me hanging on, you know.
I mean, the only thing I would that I'm still watching or it's interested in is Cobra
easiest
Kai.
Easiest one to scroll through.
Cobra Kai and Stranger Things and.
Cobra Kai, that's right. Yeah.
Cobra Kai, we're not getting it until next year, and right. who knows when they're going to start filming the final season of Stranger Things? Because those kids right. look like adults now.
Well, they got enough of our money to do really good, like, computer graphics, right? Yeah. And make them look young again.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Netflix, Lance, I did start the fall of The House of Usher.
Oh, I think
I'm enjoying it so far. Nice. I'm only a couple episodes in, but it's pretty good. It's what you come to expect from Mike Flanagan.
Cool. Yeah, if you've read any Poe over the years, you'll really get into it, man. Like basically every major work that Edgar Allan Poe's done, there's like entire poems that are like scattered throughout episodes and stuff like that, kind of as Easter eggs that are spoken. It's like really cool. Yeah, I think you'll like it, man.
Yeah, it does make you do that, where somebody will say something and it was, mm-hmm. you'll just like, was that an Edgar Allan Poe thing? And you pull out the phone and kind of look it up real quick.
Uh-huh. And indeed it was, right?
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I've been watching. A lot of TV.
So what's the top? What's the coolest, man?
I'll go Monarch.
Monarch. All right. Yeah. Adding it in.
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with my brain. I'm just remembering all the shows. I started Reacher on Prime. The Jack Reacher.
Oh, is it out season?
No, I've never seen the show, so I started the first season.
Oh. Mm. Gotcha.
That guy is like a Sherlock Holmes that just fucks people up.
Yeah. Well, apparently the Reacher in the book is like 6'6" or some shit, and
so he wasn't Tom Cruise in the movie.
No.
That was 6'6", not 5'6". Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the guy that I think is Alan Richman or something. I forgot.
I know who you're talking. He's in the Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah. Right? He's like the perfect guy, just the way he plays the character. And he's
from Blue Mountain State is where I remember him most.
I had to look him up because I was like, this guy's a great new actor. And then I looked him up and he's been around since Blue Mountain State. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he's fantastic in that show. I love that show.
that's a good show too. But I'm going to go with Monarch.
All right. Monarch it is.
That works. Well, yeah, that game challenge is definitely going to be my cool of the week.
Squid game.
Talked about it. Okay. It sounded awesome. They have like little squibs. Yeah, they have like little squibs in their shirt, and so like if they get deleted or whatever, like a little squib will go off, and they have to lay down and pretend like they're dead. It's great. And then every character you like try to get attached to, they'll be like, oh, here's our backstory. It's so cool, and then they're dead.
So. Right.
You're definitely not going to guess who the final three are because you don't even know who they are till halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
But anyway, got a pretty good show. I was impressed with it. I had something else, but I can't remember what it was. So I guess that'll be my cool of the week. That's the one I'm looking forward to on Wednesday coming out.
All right. Is that going to be the finale then on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Get to see who takes all that money. Watch it be the CEO of Netflix. Jumps up, pulls off a mask Scooby-Doo style and says,
I'm going for the little old Asian lady. I like her.
She played the game the right way. People got mad at her. Even the people she had alliances with were kind of like, that was fucked up what you did. I'm like, it's for over $4 million. Watch how I play the game.
Yeah. No
also, she had a point. Like, I understand why she was like, oh, I don't want her in here. I don't trust her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody acted like it came out of the blue. It didn't make it. Anyway, I won't get too into detail on stupid Squid Game challenge, but I set my eye on that one.
people may want to leave a little to the imagination till they watch it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, my cool of the week is easy, guys. It's not a movie or a book or anything. It's like a moment in time. So we're here in Florida now, and it's like we were driving. Fucking, we drove all day Saturday, so we left at like 4 a.m. and didn't get here till, I don't know, like 11:20 p.m. But it was fate, because as it turns out, at 11 p.m., we were looking at the orange sun. We were almost to our apartment, like it's super close to Cape Canaveral. and we're looking at the orange sun, and something is like going straight up that's also the same exact color orange as the, or not the sun, I'm sorry, the moon. Fuck 11 p.m. Sorry, guys. Or the moon was orange for whatever reason. And there was something streaking up above it. And I was watching it, and I'm saying, AJ, are you seeing this too? Or am I like, do you have a flashback? Well, it's an earthbound UFO. It's an Elon Musk UFO because we read just afterwards that SpaceX had sent 23 satellites up into orbit. So we actually got to see my very first rocket launch from Cape Canaveral. Nice. Being here. Totally by accident. Oh, they launched
them with a rocket. Okay, that makes sense.
That's cool.
It was fucking amazing. I mean, it was just like bright orange, and just you could follow it all the way up, and then it did the trajectory until you could follow it all the way up out of the atmosphere. It was going really fucking fast, and it was just totally amazing. I didn't want to go to a rocket launch and, like, you know, be closer to where it all happens and stuff, but for an entry into living in Florida, that's not a bad start. So that's the cool of the week. So, Brian, horror headlines?
Yeah, wait, I have an addition to that one real quick. Because yes. One time I was looking up at the sky at night, and my wife and I saw these, like, stars that went across. It was, like, four of them right in a row. And we were like, what the hell is that? It's a UFO. And then somebody was like, no, those are the satellites, the Skylink, is that what it's called? Yeah. So you can actually see them when they go overhead. There's like a bunch of them all in a row. So
no shit.
Kind of a cool thing.
Is that how they do it?
Just in case you happen to see a UFO.
So do they load them up on the rocket and then like release them one at a time? Or how does that work? Do they have to have people?
I guess.
There?
I mean, they space like out a little. I guess they space out a little once they get up there, and there's just like a direct line of them that are constantly circling to give internet to everybody.
Pretty cool, man. Yeah. Internet for the world, right?
There you go.
All right. SpaceX. Cool of the week. SpaceX.
All right, news. Lance, we're going to start with your favorite movie of the year. This is already getting a sequel. Thanksgiving 2 is in development.
Talk to me. Oh, fuck you.
And Eli Roth is returning to direct.
Why?
I think you're the only person I know that didn't like it.
Okay.
What movie? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I still haven't seen it. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, literally have to see it.
Thanksgiving
2. Well, Desmond, Lance gave it a 2 out of 10.
Oh. Dang.
I was feeling generous. It's giving time of year. I was generous. Yeah.
Let's see. The FX Alien series is filming right now, and they've casted Timothy Oliphant joins the cast.
Nice. Ah, that dude's awesome.
Yeah.
And I believe Noah Hawley has said this series takes place between Alien and Aliens.
Right.
Wow. Okay, cool.
He doesn't strike me as the most serious of actor. I like him in comedies.
Right.
But.
Okay.
Well, A lot of people liked him. So. A lot of people liked him when he showed up in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was pretty good in that one.
Unexpected, so. For sure.
I always think of him as Mickey from Scream 2.
Ah, there you go. There's a deep cut.
Movie buff.
There you go.
He knew a lot about movies.
Yep.
And take you to the trivia night because we suck at it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I remember that one.
Yeah, not a lot of news. I guess because of the holiday. Robert Eggers' Nosferatu gets a December 25th, 2024 release date.
Okay.
So that's something.
Awesome.
2024, you said?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Wow.
Well, that's like 2 weeks from now.
2024, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Are we in 2024?
Almost.
I think Phil's in 2024.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was hoping there was going to be
less than a month away.
But it's December 25th, 2024.
Oh, gotcha.
You're blowing my mind, Philip. Jesus Christ, dude.
Never mind.
Oh, we had some time travel.
You're saying
we're
almost in 2024. I know, right?
Dude, this podcast tonight is what life would be like, Philip, if you hadn't been born. You know?
Like yeah.
Biff running the town, big casino. We'll talk about it later.
Oh my God.
There's not enough. There's not a lot of news to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess
we got some Texas Frightmare updates.
Oh, always good to have Texas Frightmare updates, man.
For you wrestling fans, Danhausen will be there.
Does that ring a bell, Philip?
You guys don't know Danhausen, the very nice, the very evil?
Desmond?
No, man, I hadn't caught up with wrestling in a long time, dude.
let's see.
I remember Hulk Hogan.
Well, you would. You were like 20 when he started wrestling.
He was 30 when he started.
Serena Vincent from Cabin Fever. She was the one that the scene where she was trying to shave her legs.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh yeah,
and Lance,
I like that movie, man.
You have a chance to tell Eli Roth his movie Thanksgiving sucked because he will be at Texas Frightmare.
Can't wait.
Uh-oh.
Can't wait. But he's hit or miss. See, some of his movies I fucking love, like Hostel, right? And then we've got, I don't know. I gotta ask him, why, dude? Why are you so up and down? Like, you're either a 2 or an 8. You have no in between.
I got a soft spot for Eli Roth.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What movie didn't you like that he directed?
Other than Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Well, The Green Inferno kind of sucked. Knock Knock was fucking horrible.
Knock Knock was hilarious.
I guess so, yeah, in a bad way. Didn't they bury Keanu Reeves in an ant pile or something and have ants start biting on him or something like that?
No, you're missing The Green Inferno. You're mixing his movies now.
Okay.
But that is
I like Green Inferno. That one was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, his movies that are not that great, they're like enjoyable in a bad way.
Yeah.
So
good horror movies.
Yeah. Well, Lance, you can tell him he sucks when we get there.
I may not put in those exact words.
Well, I mean, it's
I don't want to have a repeat of the Lance Henriksen situation. I definitely don't want to get kicked out of there.
Yeah.
What happened with Lance Henriksen?
Brian, you want to tell the story?
We had an interview lined up with Lance. We went to his table. He was like happy to see us. Like he was like, you know, just let me take care of a couple signatures here, and then you know we can do the interview right here. And then his handler was there, and she was like, I didn't know nothing about an interview. This is not happening right now. So Lance,
and then Lance was like, "You suck." No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So Lance emails his what was it? His manager, his agent, or whatever.
Right, right.
Or his publicist, I think. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, "Lance said he'll do it. So just whatever Lance wants to do, just go." Lance, nicest guy ever, because he was like, "If we can't make this happen here, I'll meet you guys in the hotel bar. We'll do the interview there." But we were just kind of like, we see this is causing a problem. We don't want to cause you a problem, so we'll try to schedule it another time. And we just
plus we were never pretty shocked by that point.
Yeah, never got the interview, but Lance, it was not because of Lance. He was ready to go right there.
Sure.
And I had my man's best friend Blu-ray ready for him to sign and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I used to watch that over and over again as a kid.
Yeah,
I'm sure you did.
Lance, the dog pisses acid on someone's face.
Sounds like a Freddy Krueger movie I've seen. was fire though. Okay.
Yeah, that's the update. Not much news. I'm assuming after the holidays we'll get hit with a whole bunch of news and stuff.
right.
But we got some brand new trailers though.
Yeah, I think Desmond's ready to come down here to Florida and join me for a little trip down to the trailer park.
Ew.
All right, Brian. Brian is going to bring us the big, the small, and some. They're very, very big this week, but the very, very weird as well. So what do we got, Brian?
We are going to start with the Mad Max Fury Road prequel, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Only people in the cast we really need to that are noteworthy are Anya Taylor-Joy and Thor, Chris Hemsworth, which I didn't even recognize him at first when I seen the trailer.
Thought that sure who that was.
Was it Fat Thor or was he Thin Thor?
He looked like he looked like regular Thor, but okay. He had some like prosthetic work done. Just changed his face up a little bit, but once he started talking, I was like, oh, there you are, Thor.
There's Thor.
Yeah.
Looks like him. Start with Desmond. What you think of the trailer?
Oh, man. It looked awesome. I mean, I love George Miller's style of direction. So, like, feeling like that Mad Max Fury Road to now Furiosa, it has, like, that good continuity between the two, and I'm really excited about the cast, especially like Anya Taylor-Joy. I really like, I love her in anything she's in. She's always like the highlight of the movie, and I mean, I can tell already like the action scenes are gonna be badass. All the chases, lots of explosions. I'm like, as long as I can see shit blow up, I'm happy. So I'm into it. It looks dope.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm into it. I did, when they announced that Anya Taylor-Joy was going to be in it, I didn't know how I felt her being the younger version of Charlize Theron. Mm-hmm. But seeing it now in the trailer, I'm buying it. It looks like it's going to work. And I think Chris Hemsworth is going to be a villain in this movie, which I liked him in Bad Times at the El Royale when he played that cult leader.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I love George Miller's his style of filmmaking, the action he does, the cars, and the violence is going to be off the top, over the top in this. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lance?
Yeah, man.
Phil.
Yeah, I pretty much feel the same way, dude. It looks pretty good. Really enjoyed the first one. This is a cool. I was going to ask you if it was a younger Charlize Theron, but you answered that question. So
now you know.
it's cool. Cool to have a little backstory to it, and got the bad guy with the thing on his face, who was a pretty cool character.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I like it, man. It ought to be cool. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm gonna say about fucking time, man. I wanted this movie like 5 years ago. Jesus, how long have we been promised that this was coming? Now I'm with you, Brian. I was a little questionable about Anya Taylor, so I don't know who I would replace her with, quite frankly. I mean, I can't think of. I mean, can you guys think of someone else you might pick for that role?
For Charlize, I know what you meant.
Like based on looks.
Mm-hmm. How about Samara Weaving?
I can see that.
I thought about that.
You know, that was my first thought. But I guess we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, it looks fucking badass. You guys are right. It's good to see they're still using gasoline in the apocalyptic future, so we didn't learn our lesson.
Well, they got that whole little setup in Fury Road. What was it? Right? Gasoline Town?
Yeah, Gas Town. Yeah.
Where somebody controlled all the gas.
Oh, my God. I love...
They got to figure out a way to power a vehicle.
Well, that's true. And I love... What was the... Was it Thunderdome? With the dude that flew... He looked like Tom Petty, and he flew like the little fucking glider airplane.
Oh, he was in the second and third one.
Okay. That dude was badass, man.
I thought you were going to bring up Master Blaster.
Oh yeah, you can't go wrong with Masterpiece. Yeah. But this looks fucking awesome.
Throw a little homage to that.
Something I gotta recommend if you're like hyped for this next installment in this franchise, check out the Mad Max video game. It's on PS4 and Xbox One and on PC. I've been replaying it on my Xbox and it's got me all kinds of pumped for this movie. It's a blast. It's basically nice. George Miller's film turned into an open world game. It's
oh dope. Shit.
Oh,
and you're trying to go to Gastown.
Very That's cool.
It's
amazing.
Is the Mad Max more aligned to Tom Hardy or Mel Gibson?
Tom Hardy, a little bit more, but but it also like harkens back to the Mel Gibson movies too. So it's still very much like that George Miller world, and it takes a lot of what was done in Fury Road and then just makes it into a big open world sandbox game where you just like drive around cars, blow shit up. You're taking over different places. It's fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I may have to check that, man.
Cool of the year.
You just reminded me of not cool of the week.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer. Amazing. Yeah. Release date, 2025. Not amazing. Oh, it's been over 10 years since the last game.
Wow.
These guys cannot get their shit straight.
These are fucking guys.
I'm watching the trailer for the new game that the trailer just came out, I think, yesterday. And I'm like, watching it, I was like, this fucking looks amazing. I can't wait. Trailer ends and it says 2025. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
They need to do some customizable players in Grand Theft Auto. I think that would be fantastic. Okay. I've thought that since Grand Theft Auto 3 first came out. I was like, why can I not change the way this guy is?
Well, maybe that's the next thing coming, man.
Yeah, we'll get that version of Grand Theft Auto 7 when our grandkids are.
Oh yeah, and 2045. Yeah.
grandkids Theft Auto, huh?
All right, so Furiosa and Mad Max.
Why did I just say that?
A Mad Max saga comes to theaters May 24th.
All right.
And on to our final trailer. The sequel to, what was it, a couple years ago, Lance? Godzilla versus Kong came out.
Wasn't that long, like right after COVID, right? Wasn't that one of the first ones we went to see at the theater?
Well, I did HBO Max, which this is one of the movies that had made me have a better appreciation for movies. Not that it was a great movie, but we weren't getting nothing during the pandemic.
Yes.
And I felt like people were complaining about everything that was coming out, and it just gave me a better appreciation. I had fun with the original one. I thought the human characters were stupid and pointless.
Bryan Cranston, is that the one he was in?
No, the one that really made me mad was Alexander Skarsgård was not believable as a scientist.
Ouch.
That was terrible.
He seemed like the stupidest guy in the room.
Right.
The just monsters like were science, awesome, man. But the people were awful.
Oh no! They should have used Marky Mark to be the scientist.
I'm telling you, Monarch. The for some reason, the characters are much better.
Well, you think Godzilla could beat me? Come on, man.
I'm gonna check it out, Brian. You got me totally sold on Monarch. I'm absolutely gonna check it out now.
All right, Godzilla and Kong: The New Empire. I think pretty much a lot of the original cast is coming back with the added addition of Dan Stevens.
Oh, there you go, man.
And I think that's pretty much Adam Wingard's back to direct.
Which makes sense, right? Because was it The Guest? Was that the movie they did together?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But Dan Stevens, is he going to have a British accent or an American accent? That's the big question.
He popped up in the trailer. I don't think he had any lines in the trailer, so...
Okay.
Is he British?
I would say, yeah, he's British. I would say let him be his accent. I mean, Tom Hiddleston in Kong Skull Island used his accent. So.
Right.
We're going to start with Desmond.
Yeah, you know, I haven't watched the other Kong movies. Godzilla movies, like none of them. I mean, I've seen like the original, like the OG one. Watched the trailer and I just was like, okay, I mean, it looks pretty, but it just didn't really do anything for me. I was like, yeah, it looks cool. I mean, and if I was like super into Kong or Godzilla, I'd be like stoked about it, but it's just not my thing. But I can see people who do appreciate it, like really getting into it.
Yeah, I see what you say, I think that's why I'm kind of into these movies a little bit more, because I kind of grew up with the original one, because we had a local TV channel that late at night they would show like the original Godzilla movies and Mothra and all those. So it's like how I know people get mad about or having superhero fatigue with the superhero movies nowadays, but I grew up when we didn't have none of those movies.
Yeah.
So yeah. I still get excited for those. If you haven't seen these, just go into the mindset there, especially the Kong, Godzilla versus Kong movie. It's just dumb fun. You don't have to get too invested on a complicated storyline, because it's just, it's pretty much lays it out, and you just watch two giant monsters fight each other. And
yeah, and they bring back some of the really awesome old school Godzilla characters.
Yeah.
Right.
So and that's fun.
Believe this new one is it's a sequel from that movie, and it's gonna expound on I don't know if you remember, guys that seen it, when they went into Middle Earth, kind of, I don't know what they called it, where there was that whole world inside Earth that was lost.
Yeah, the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's a real theory.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, it doesn't have any validity, dude. It's like flat Earth, yeah. But yeah.
But I'm here for it.
But it's just a thing that people believe.
Yeah, I'm here for this movie. Oh, I'm just not going to make the mistake of watching it at home, because I think I would have got more enjoyment watching a movie like this on the big screen.
It makes a difference for sure.
It's one of those films that like begs to be seen, like
on like an
IMAX would be freaking awesome for something like that.
That's the way to go for sure. I mean, dude, you've got me soaked now with talking about Monarch, and if it plays into that, I mean, I thought at first the little, is that a baby Kong or a mini Kong or whatever they said at the end? I thought, oh great, now
it looks like eyes,
but
it looks like there's his kind still exists, but they're in Hollow Earth,
deep in Hollow Earth, right?
Yeah. And there's supposed to be a new protagonist, the other one that they showed in the trailer. I guess he's bigger than Kong.
Okay.
And he's like the king of that empire.
Yeah, I think I can get into this, man. I'm gonna check out Monarch. I'm going to, I'm gonna give it a fair shot. And yeah, this you guys are 100% right. This is one to see in like IMAX. Well, here at the AMC across the street from where I live. Just fucking badass. I can walk to it. They've got something called Big D. You guys ever heard of that before? D-Box?
Oh, Big D. Oh. D-Box. Okay. I thought you were talking about
They call it Big
D. Some of that Big D.
Yeah, it's in the porno theater. You know,
I was about to say, what theater are you going to?
You're a real D-Box. You know that?
All right. So is it D-Box?
I'm going to go walk down the street to get myself a big old D.
Big old D.
About to say, they do things different in Florida, huh? Like,
yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Shooting rockets and got big D's right there.
Yeah, but I want to check out the D-Box, like the seats move and everything, right?
Yeah, I think we have that up here. I haven't got a chance to try it out. It's like where they blow the air in your face. Big D yet. They blow the air in your face, and
at least it's air, Desmond. It sounds cool, man. Actually, the movie that's playing there Friday, I might go see, because it's oh, dude, shit, I can't even remember the name of it. Die Hard.
the
Desmond's the got me going. Yeah,
really. Well, you're the one talking about Big D's.
Yeah, the big D in Die Hard, man, right?
The big D blown in your face.
You're talking about the... You're talking about the...
My favorite Christmas movie, not big, big Die Hard.
Oh, we're about to break Lance.
All right, yeah.
You're talking about the re-release, right?
I guess so, dude. It's, it, I mean, if they're showing it the biggest theater, what is it like? Do they add more to it, or is it?
No, it's just
extra D.
No, because I don't know how much you're paying for extra, but
okay,
you usually pay extra for that.
What theater is this again, Lance? This theater sounds kind of
it's an AMC theater. But okay. It's an AMC theater in Florida, so
you get the big D.
I think it's called the Florida Man 16, I think.
Oh, okay.
All right, so
I forgot what we were talking about.
Totally fucking forgot what we were talking about. Oh, Godzilla and Kong, right?
Yes.
Godzilla X Kong. So they're obviously going to work together, right?
They're
friends now, and they've got another buddy that's going to help them out, so we'll check it out.
I have a theory that they're going to fight again.
Why not, right?
No, because I have a theory that Godzilla drove his kind to Hollow Earth.
Oh, boy.
He killed a lot of them.
Oh.
That's why in the trailer they keep showing shots of all the giant skulls and everything. I think those were...
Right.
His ancestors that Godzilla had to kill.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, you think so? I assume.
Uh-oh, we're losing Philip.
Yeah, I didn't hear nothing you said.
We're losing Philip.
This is great podcasting.
No. Like the big
Go Skype! Go Skype!
It's all because of that big D.
Fuck it, internet sucks.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to podcasting, Desmond.
All right.
You back, Phil?
Can you guys hear me?
You back?
Yes.
I think so, maybe.
All right. We didn't hear nothing you said.
That's okay. I forgot what I was saying anyway.
Okay. Let's move on from this big D.
It's only funny the first time. If I say it again, it's not funny.
God damn it.
Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire comes to theaters April 12th.
Oh, I know what I was saying. Okay. No, because I really had a problem. All right. So, no, yeah, I assumed it was the big orangutan monster that was, like, killing the Kong monsters. Like, it was a different race of monkey or something.
I think that's part of it, but I think we're going to find out that however many years ago it was Godzilla, because he's supposed to be, like, the protector of Earth.
Right.
So they're going to find out that maybe that king orangutan led the apes on some kind of whatever thing, and Godzilla had to murder all of them and drive them to Hollow Earth.
Dark.
Okay. He's the resistance. The orangutan is John Connor.
Right.
Could be.
Didn't think of it that way. I did get shades of Planet of the Apes, right? Because they had all those apes together in the one scene.
Which trailer came out too for the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which that one looks amazing. I think they got that motion capture down for those movies.
Is it still Andy Serkis that's doing the movement in that one?
I don't think he's in it, but I think he's a part of, like, I think people like call him to get expert advice on, like, motion capture acting and stuff. So I think he's involved in the movie. I don't think he's in the movie. All right, that's trailers.
On to listener feedback. Or do we have
listener feedback?
That's it.
Okay. Listener feedback. Sorry, guys. I think there's a delay with me today. May just be in my head. This week, we shine the podcast spotlight on That Was Pretty Scary. That Was Pretty Scary is a horror film podcast hosted by Freddie Prinze Jr. and John Lee Brody. What?
Oh, shit. What the fuck? Okay.
Together, they break down every horror film they've ever seen. It's a long list, and the two voices come from a place of experience, education, and most of all, a shared love of horror movies. From the classics to new releases, from cult favorites to horror films from around the world, these two cover it all. I'm sorry, Brian, what were you gonna say?
I was going to say this one was recommended to me by Nez. I forgot what we were talking about something. Oh, we were talking about, we were doing our Wrestling Returns episode, and we were talking about Freddie Prinze Jr. used to write for WWE, and he's got a podcast, and he was telling me about it, and then I went and listened to the first episode, which it was pretty fascinating, because he did, the first episode was I Know What You Did Last Summer, which he was in. He's never watched it.
Oh.
And he went back and watched it, and he told stories about how the director didn't want him in the movie because it wasn't his choice for that role. Mm-hmm. And about a stunt that went wrong that he almost walked off the movie because the director sent home the stunt coordinator and all the stunt people and had him do the stunt.
Oh, shit. So, okay. Guerrilla filmmaking, huh?
Yeah. Which kind of sounded like the director just didn't like him through the whole filming of the movie.
Tried to kill him.
I mean,
so he was just
set him on fire,
talking shit about the director the whole time.
No, I mean he was like, he didn't really talk shit. He just like he didn't want me for the movie, and you know, it was just kind of a dick to me during the whole movie. But he was talking about how he was the new actor in the industry. And so he, you know, he knew not to kind of fight with the director and stuff like that. But when it came to the stunt that went wrong, he just kind of had enough of it. And it was just like, I'm not coming back to set unless you bring the experts, the stunt team, the stunt coordinator back. 'Cause I almost died doing this stunt.
Jesus,
and it was the stunt in the movie where they're on the boat and he falls in the water. I guess the first take went horribly wrong, and he just was like, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not a stunt guy. I'm an actor. So he
had to bring out the big D, huh?
Yeah, he did. He laid it on his face and
Okay. Just
like that. But off of that first episode, it seemed like a podcast that I want to continue listening, because his angle is he's more of a fan of the movies, and his co-host is the guy that's more knowledgeable and kind of has all the trivia and facts about the movies. So it's an interesting podcast so far.
Wow. Never would have guessed that. Freddie Prinze Jr. All right.
Yeah.
So that was pretty scary podcast. Check it out. Zim Vader, regarding our koozies finally getting to Australia, he says, I'll hang on to a couple if you get any Aussie cunts who want one or become Patreons or whatever, just let me know and I'll send them one of these.
All right. We will.
Yeah. We got a few of them.
We never got Desmond his koozie. And oh, Brian, man, you don't have any either, man. I've got some here in the garage at the apartment, so I gotta
get down to the
post office a few more times.
I just found the original ones.
I was going
through some stuff and I found the original ones.
Nice. Although I like Steve's.
Well, if you'd like to help us send stuff out, because we don't get paid enough for this shit, you can become a Patreon patron.
There you go.
And maybe you'll even get yourself a big D by becoming a Patreon.
That's the top tier.
Top tier? premium level?
For $5 or more, must also pick a commentary for a future bonus show. And, of course, all of our intro and new logos come from Steve Carlton from The Geeks. And Natsulani does our original skull artwork. So thank you for that. Check her out on Instagram.
Oh, thanks.
But
let's move on to our featured attraction.
We got a delay going, bro. Yeah. He can't hear you.
Go ahead.
Am I fucking up again?
That's not you. It's your Wi-Fi, dude, or something.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I know, man. I'll fix it. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear everybody fine.
Okay, I'm gonna send you guys a new t-shirt design coming soon. I'm gonna send.
Nice.
Listeners are gonna have to wait to see it, but I thought it was a pretty cool t-shirt design. But that's all I was gonna say. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh no, no problem. I thought I was cutting out. All right, on to featured attractions. This week we begin our Christmas season with 1984's "Don't Open Till Christmas." And the brand new "It's a Wonderful Knife." Get it?
Got it.
Not obvious at all.
We'll start with "Don't Open Till Christmas" from 1984. Somebody with very little Christmas spirit is killing anyone in a Santa suit. Is that what it says? All right.
Philip, you made this one shit up,
one London holiday season. I know, it sounds like I wrote it. And Scotland Yard has to stop him before he makes his exploits an annual tradition.
Jesus Christ. That's the worst description like ever. Okay.
Present from the people who brought you Friday the 13th. Now comes "Don't Open Till Christmas."
A homicidal maniac is loose at Christmas. His target is Santa Claus. No one dressed as Santa Claus is safe. His death toys are a spear, a gun, an open razor, a dagger, or a garrote. Execution by any means.
Quit the job and Derek Uh-oh. Ford took over, but was fired after 2 days. The distributors then hired Ray Self to complete the direction and Alan Birkinshaw to rewrite parts of the script, including the original ending and the London dungeon scene, and much of the footage was completely refilmed. That doesn't sound like a train wreck at all. Desmond, what did you think about "Don't Open Till Christmas"?
Dude, as you like ran through all of that, it all makes sense now. Why this movie feels so like, as I was watching it, I was like, what the fuck is going on? What is happening? It felt so disjointed and like
there it really were, did.
Yeah, like there were different films put together. And now hearing that, it's like, oh, because it basically was. It was like they had a bunch of different directors come in and they're like, well, I'll do it now. it's a bad movie. Like, I'm going to take that right out the gate. That was just pretty fucking bad.
They had more directors than Santa costumes.
Seriously. But the one thing that was a standout, though, was the kills and the gore. Like, the practical effects for some of the kills were really well done. Like, the first Santa Claus that gets killed and like, that bar, where, like, nobody freaks out. Everyone's totally calm.
Day at the Christmas bar, huh?
Yeah, they're all just like, oh no. And it's like, bro, dude got like a spike through his mouth. Like, no one's freaking out about this.
Nobody's seen him throw the spear or whatever.
Yeah, where'd it come from?
Yeah, it just
came from that dummy that everybody thought was a person standing there the whole time.
But I mean, that was a good kill. There was the, the dude getting like the gunshot in the back of the head. Like, all that practical effects was cool. The dude getting his dick cut off when he was taking a piss. So I was like, oh,
man. Oh, man. I forgot about that one.
Definitely an uncomfortable scene, but that makes it good.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the time I got to the end of the film, I cracked up at the ending. I was like, really?
What else are you gonna do?
It's just like it didn't make any sense. It made zero sense to me.
Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm with there with Desmond. I don't know what was going on story-wise. I thought the killer originally was murdering Santa Clauses, but then started murdering women in the second half of the movie.
That was weird.
But didn't murder the naked woman.
But the highlight of the movie was the kills. And I will say, for a slasher movie, I did appreciate that the killer changed up his weapon. It wasn't just a knife stab, you know, doing stabby stabby kills every time. He had the spear, the gun. He even had a studded spike leather glove that he punched the shit out of somebody with a bunch of times. Which I appreciate that. I appreciate the practical effects, but I was just lost in what was going on in the story. Then it introduced this whole aspect of the cop that maybe wasn't a cop, and then had this brother that nobody knew about.
Yeah, that was really weird, right?
I'm like, nobody knew about this brother. Did the story of this movie know about the brother either? Because he seemed to just pop up
at first. Out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't think they did at first, man. I think they were making it up as they were going along, it looked like.
And then I'm right there with you.
Do we need to explain that? Nah.
I'm right there with you. The ending was hilarious. Why not just end it with an exploding package at the end? Just why not?
Sure. Why not?
Which but wasn't that his brother?
Yeah.
His killer brother gave that to him. It was like, wait, why are you opening that from your serial killer Santa Claus brother? What?
And why is his serial killer Santa Claus brother trying to kill him?
I don't know.
Because he's not the one that was, like, having sex with the random lady. It was her dad. Or his dad.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you mad at him? What did he do?
I don't understand any of it.
I felt
like I missed something when I watched it.
I don't think the writers missed something when they were putting the script together. Because it didn't make any sense. The only entertaining value that I could find was the kills, because I was just waiting to see how the next person was going to die. And I appreciate the practical effects. You got to be aware of your surroundings when you're in a men's bathroom. That's all I got to say.
Can't just sneak up
on somebody and get your dick cut off. Just
ouch.
But
You always got to kind of look behind you if somebody's walking in the bathroom. You know, you don't want somebody attacking you when you're the most vulnerable. You know, it's not a thing that does cross through your mind.
Yeah, somebody walks in the bathroom, just do a little glance behind you. You know, that's it.
Yeah, there's a Santa killer in town after all, right?
Check your
everybody knows it apparently.
Yeah, somebody walks in with the knife, just glance behind you and just
right.
Recognize he's had a knife and
put your dick away. Put your big D away.
But in a bad way, I kind of enjoyed this movie. The story made no sense, but I enjoyed the kills, and some of the characters were kind of hilarious. And yeah, that opening scene, nobody gave a shit about somebody getting stabbed in the back of the head with a spear.
That was weird.
Yeah. And this movie was kind of in that weird period in the 80s where it still kind of felt like the 70s. It wasn't quite the 80s, so maybe there was a lot of cocaine.
Disco involved. Age. So,
a lot of cocaine used in the movie, huh?
I imagine. Lance, what'd you think?
Oh, man. I guess Brian, you're right, man. The kills were the only redeeming quality here. All right, so I have been in the London Dungeon because the wife and I took a trip to the UK, and they do still have the London Dungeon there, but it doesn't look anything like that.
Wait. What's the London Dungeon?
The London Dungeon.
You brought up the big D earlier, so.
It's very related because, you see, you have to put on black leather. It's a tourist attraction on the River Thames, okay? And you go through there, and they, like, have people act out, like, you know, different, you know, British, like there's a Jack the Ripper room and, you know, room where they're making the meat pies, the Sweeney Todd room. There's the fan base out there. So yeah, it's pretty cool, but it's very tame, right? I mean, it's just kind of like going through a haunt or something like that. And then at the end, they give you a little chip to get a beer at the pub, because it is London. So they got to give you a chip for a beer at the end of it. But dude, it was not what the hell kind of London dungeon was that? This was nothing like what it is now. And that makes me wonder, in the 80s, did they have all this weird, like, S&M and naked body parts and stuff hanging up in the London dungeon? Did they consider that like a tourist attraction?
Another thing that just popped in my head, there was nobody in London in this movie.
Well, and nobody cared about that's the killer true. Going around, that's for the, damn sure.
Nobody was.
They would have told everyone to quit wearing a Santa suit, right?
Nobody was at this London dungeon attraction.
Yeah,
the girl that was the dancer behind the glass.
Yes.
She runs out of the establishment she works at, and she's mm-hmm. running around broad daylight, and there's nobody around.
Yes, very odd, right? For one of the most populous cities. Even in the 80s, London was a very populous city, right? I think London's been around a year or two. So, yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, man. And yeah, the storytelling was horrible. Yeah, and then you've got all these. I don't know if you would say that it's like characters that they put in there to throw you off or make you wonder, is it that person or is it that person or whatever. But they didn't do a very good job of it, because like nothing really.
Yeah.
And let's go back, gentlemen. Shall we return to those days of the misogyny returns? Because my God, what he did to that poor girl. On the cot and chaining her up. He's like killing Santas, and all of a sudden he's into like S&M and bondage and misogyny and.
Well, I didn't understand that, because one minute
made no sense, right?
He's kind of that way, but then the next way he's like, "I'm gonna leave you here until you think about all the wrong you did, and then I'm gonna come back and kill you." I was like, "Oh, now you have morals and values now."
Like a James Bond villain. Leave you here and come back and see if you're still alive.
And did he die at the end?
I don't know. Did he?
Because he woke up and because they had to do the horror movie thing where they got to go check the body, and then he jumps up and he grabs her by the throat, and then we get the flashback.
Which,
so I'm like,
I gotta talk about that flashback for a minute, because
this
also had me rolling. This whole flashback. Back sequence. So like the kid gets like a Swiss Army knife for Christmas.
He's a man now, so he gets a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, you're a big boy now. And he's like eyeing it, going like, oh fuck yeah, I got an army knife.
I like how he's like, doing the stabby motions.
Yeah, he's like, I know. Yeah. And he starts like cutting into like the freaking tree, and the mom is like, that's right, little boy, that's right. And then this weirdo kid goes upstairs and sees his dad dressed up as Santa porking some random lady. And he has like a Swiss Army knife. He's like, dad. And then the mom comes in, and the dad's like, dude, what the fuck? I'm banging this lady. Get out of here, wife. And when he pushes her down the stairs, the way that's edited, and she's just like very softly lying herself down on the stairs, and then slowly lands her head on the floor. It was like, oh my God. This is amazing.
And the pool of blood forms.
Of course.
At least they didn't stop motion the blood.
They could have done that. That movie was, to me, was that Home Sweet Home, to me, we did that a couple of weeks ago, Desmond, was actually entertaining, because it felt like a labor of love, you know, down to the dude with the Kiss makeup, but he's really a mime, but he plays the heavy metal guitar.
Makeup, Gene Simmons was the fucking killer in this one.
Oh, that's right. He did have that Gene Simmons look.
The killer with his eyes. They were like smiling. I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't.
And he was, what they meant by that. There was more than one person that said, I couldn't see his face, but I saw his eyes. It was like they were smiling.
When Irish eyes are smiling? I don't know. I'm lost.
God.
Because he was really happy to stab people.
Oh. Well, he was, but I didn't see where the eyes were smiling, but okay.
And it's like his whole motivation was like, I remember from the end, he was like, oh, I want to give my brother something to really, you know, look for. So I'm going to, like, give him the Christmas season and give him something to, like, really investigate. And it's like, what? But why, though? Shouldn't you be, like, stabbing your dad? Because he, like,
unbelievable.
Your mom?
Right. Yeah, that would be my first victim, probably. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Maybe something that makes sense. but I kind of felt the same way. It's it's definitely not a good movie, but it is kind of fun because it sucks so much. Everybody had like the exact same Santa costume with this shitty little like red ribbon belt.
And they were all drunk.
I mean, maybe that's a British thing. I don't know. But they looked like really cheap Santas. Yeah. They were the cheapest Santa Clauses they could find. The special effects were kind of cool. The kills were definitely the highlight of this movie because the story was insane and didn't make any sense at all. I was confused by the end. I was like, I want to have questions, but I kind of don't care.
Yeah, it was just another movie, right?
Yeah. All right, scores. Desmond, 1 to 10. Or 0 to 10, I guess. Whatever the hell you want to do, I don't care.
I feel like a 2. Like, it gets a 2 pretty much for, like, it gets 1 point for, like, the kills, and then one other point for the mom slowly and gently rolling herself down the stairs.
Okay.
Brian, what do you think?
I'm going to be a little bit more generous. I'm going to give this a 4.
Whoa.
Okay. I like the practicals. I like the changing up of the ways to kill people. And also, a horror trope for slasher movies is you got to have the excessive nudity. And there was nudity when there didn't need to be. Like the scene where the cops come to question the girl. And she's
yes,
I'm wasting money by not being at work. And then she flashes them.
Yes.
So I give it a 4 out of 10.
4 on 10. Man, I'm right in the middle. Yeah, I'm right in the middle. It's a three on ten. It was, you know, it was decent kills. You know, it was definitely interesting seeing that particular version of the London Dungeon, and you know, not a lot more you can say about it, but it was kind of fun to watch in a weird way. So yeah, and all the drunk Santas being murdered, and they don't put out a warning that says don't go around in a Santa suit after like the 37th murder or whatever. But anyway, 3 on 10.
I kept thinking that. I was like, why are these motherfuckers still dressed as Santa? Is it that important? I'm gonna go 4 because I had I had a pretty good time with it. Even though it was a pretty obviously bad movie, but it is what it is. So I don't know if we're actually recommending it or not, but if you're looking for a B Christmas horror movie, this is a pretty fun one. All right, we'll move on to It's a Wonderful Knife from 2023, brand new. After saving her town from a psychotic killer, Winnie Carruthers' life is less than wonderful. When she
Angel Falls, I give you Christmas.
The lights are so pretty. This is perfect.
Oh, what did you eat?
Christmas still haunts me.
Time to let that go.
No one cares. Everyone would be better off if I was never born.
Did you see that? Power go out?
All right. Desmond, what'd you think about It's a Wonderful Knife? No spoilers yet.
Yeah, no spoilers yet. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting to enjoy this as much as I did. The thing that made me laugh the most was Justin Long's teeth.
Yes.
I don't understand why they did that.
Oh, it was amazing. And just like the voice he put on, and this was Romero speaking. It was incredible. I loved that. Fun kills. I thought the premise was interesting and different and fun. And it felt very festive. It felt like it was Christmas. I love Christmas horror movies. And this was like one that like ticked a lot of the boxes that I enjoy about Christmas horror movies. And it was fast paced. It moved like really quickly, but still like you were able to keep up with what was going on. The story was very clear. It was very simple. And I like the way that they took It's a Wonderful Life and turned it into a slasher. It was creative in that way. So yeah, this was probably one of the more surprising movies I've seen recently that I really wasn't expecting to enjoy as much as I did.
Okay. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I forgot who we had on here before had seen it and didn't really recommend. Pedro. Yeah, didn't really speak highly of it. So I was like, okay, we kind of fall in lines of, you know, similar things we like. So I was kind of not really had the highest expectations. And I came out actually enjoying this movie. I thought it was a pretty fun movie. It gets points alone on that title. It's a Wonderful Knife. I like the wordplay. And tying it in with the slasher. Story was pretty much straightforward. There was some decent kills in here, but my favorite part of this movie, besides seeing Catherine Isabel pop up in the movie, I love when she pops up in movies. I think she's a modern scream queen. But Justin Long, everything he did was hilarious. I also don't know what they were going for with his face or what was going on with everything going on up there, but it was hilarious.
It's probably some stupid decision he made.
Yeah, and I think it was Lance Tavares was on here with us, how he said we need to start recognizing the Scream Kings.
Yes.
Justin Long's up there.
Yeah.
Just everything, it doesn't matter if the movie is garbage. He always stands out. With whatever he does in it.
Yes.
And I'm going to give him his flowers here on this show today because, you know, millions of people listen to us and everybody should know. Justin Long is
and Lance screen. Henriksen's hammer.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian.
But I had fun with the movie. The story wasn't too hard to follow. I am a little disappointed with the ending. It was a little anticlimactic for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about it in spoilers. But overall, I think this is a good addition to the Christmas horror genre. So, had fun with it.
Lance, what'd you think?
I was unpleasantly surprised. I was really thinking I was going to fucking love this movie. Especially with Joel McHale and, you know, and you've got... I don't know what Justin Long was doing. He reminded me of like a televangelist or something, like, you know,
yeah,
give till it hurts type, you know. And then, like y'all were saying, the teeth, where you can tell he had a lot of teeth work done. So I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be absolutely fucking phenomenal. And I think I just went in, I think it was a case of me going in expecting more than what I was going to get, because, okay, we knew it was going to be a riff on It's a Wonderful Life, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. I thought they were just a little too on the nose for me. I mean, I would have liked it if they'd done something a little bit different than that, you know. And Brian's talking about the anticlimactic ending. That really bothered me. Like, the ending, it almost kind of felt like this movie was going to end, and then I thought, okay, there's another twist coming, but I never got the other twist. And I was kind of like, there should have been another twist. I don't know. Maybe I'm, I probably being a little bit too harsh on it. I'll definitely give it a second viewing, but I don't know. I expected a little bit more out of it. I do have to say, I got a laugh out of the gay Christmas tree ornament, the mother giving her lovely gay son a rainbow that he'll treasure forever.
Now you know you're going to have to hang this on every Christmas tree for the rest of her life.
That was great. That was great. And the characters, I love, the characters were kind of real, right? Because they were ribbing each other and stuff like that. But see, I can't say too much about the things that bothered me, because that would be giving a lot away. But it way too much, not only like It's a Wonderful Life, but way too much like another movie as well, which I alluded to a little bit earlier, hint, hint, but we'll talk about it more. But yeah, not quite what I was hoping for, guys. Sorry, fell a little bit short for me.
Holidays have been rough on you with these movies, Lance. First Thanksgiving, oh, now it's only, a Wonderful Life.
It's only just begun, man. It's only just begun.
I actually kind of agree with Lance on this one. I think it was, it wasn't a bad movie. It just, like, if you're going to go like horror comedy, maybe a little more comedy. Because I felt like it was sort of, they sort of got silly with it, and it was a little bit cheesy, but without being as funny as it probably should have been. I did think Justin Long is great. I don't know what's up with the teeth, why they made that decision, because it
right.
makes no sense. Or has any effect on the movie whatsoever, except to be like kind of funny.
Right.
It was okay. I didn't hate it. It was fun.
Yeah, it went fast,
but it wasn't.
Yeah, Desmond was spot on. Like, it never really slowed down.
Yeah. It wasn't as fun as Freaky or,
not even close.
Like Happy Death Day.
Not even
like
close.
I like those movies a lot better. I feel like this one pulled some punches. You know what I mean? Like, it was I don't know. Maybe a little less R-rated than it should be. I don't know how to explain. It just didn't hit the same way.
Yeah, and it was gory, but it wasn't really gory.
Real,
it was just kind of like excessive blood.
And like in Freaky and in Happy Death Day, they had like some real jokes, you know what I mean? Where they were serious about it, but they gave some pretty damn good one-liners, and I felt like those were kind of missing from this. We'll do scores and then go into spoilers. Desmond, what do you think?
I feel like I'm like kind of in the middle here. I'm probably going to give like a 6.5.
That's good. Yeah, that's two-thirds good, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I went in with, again, really low
expectations. Low expectations.
Yeah. Lowered expectations. Went in with that.
Was Marilyn Manson there?
Please, no. But I enjoyed it for what it was. And it is also just like it's kind of, I don't know if I would call it saccharine sweet, but it is pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty it tends to go there.
It's got a pretty good layer of cheese on top.
And I would have liked to have seen, like, to Lance's point, it felt like a hard PG-13 rather than a rated R movie. You know, you got some, you got some blood, no, maybe a tiny bit of gore, but not much. I would have liked to have seen them push it a little bit further. Yeah, and I'll get into it more in the spoiler talk for some of the other stuff. But yeah, 6.5
All right. Brian?
Oh, I kind of want to give it a 7 But it doesn't, I know it's not really that high of a score. I also came in with low expectations, lowered by having a guest come on here, and they got to see it in the theater when it because it was in theaters before it was on Shudder. So I was just kind of like, okay, expectations lower. Lance, maybe I was just in the right mood.
That can definitely happen. Were you green by any chance?
I might have ate something, and I might have been feeling good. So, you know what?
This thing goes to 11.
I'm gonna go with my gut. I'm just gonna give it a 7
Nice.
All right. Unlike some of you guys, I really enjoyed Justin Long's performance. Catherine Isabel, I love every time she pops up in a movie, even if it's just a cameo. I love seeing her pop up and stuff.
Same.
And some of the comedy was hitting, some of it didn't, but, you know, that's just how comedies go sometimes. And the one fault I can say, I do agree with you guys saying this was more, it should have been more R-rated. And now that I'm thinking about it, with it being released in theaters and then going to Shudder, it kind of felt like it should have been more R-rated and PG-13. But I just was kind of a little disappointed with the ending, and we'll kind of talk about that.
All right. Lance, what do you think?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I didn't hate it. So it's just a little bit, I disliked it a little bit more than I liked it. So it's a 4/10
That makes sense. I'm going to go 5.5 I liked it more than I didn't. Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, and it was really well produced, and actually really well written. It just it could have been so much better, and it just wasn't quite there. It, like they, yeah, they,
it's kind of what I was thinking.
One more step up, you know. I wanted more from it. All right, spoilers.
Okay, I'll jump in real quick. You guys are making me think about the rating of the movie and the tone of the movie. How now that I'm thinking about it, it was kind of a little bit uneven, because I'm thinking of the kill of the best friend earlier in the movie.
That was pretty brutal.
It was brutal. It kind of reminded me how Ghostface is in the newer Scream movies, because she was getting stabbed, slashed, just mutilated.
But and then some of the other kills were somebody in the back of the head with a candy cane. So,
yeah, and then there's kills later on in the movie that kind of seem like really toned down. And
this is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
It just kind of felt like something that should have went hard R. Instead of like a PG-13, so.
How do you do a slasher movie that's PG-13? It just doesn't work.
Yeah, my biggest question in all this is, would things really have fucking changed that much? I mean, okay, yeah. And plus, it's like, it's almost like nothing changed until the moment of like when that first opening scene happened, right? Like all the stuff before that was probably exactly the same, except she wasn't there. And everything would have happened up to that point, but then all of a sudden, as soon as the moment when she would have killed, you know, the killer, you know, who we find out who it is, and then they do kind of a switcheroo later that I definitely saw coming. Like, I saw that, found that to be super predictable. But really, like, fucking Back to the Future 2 here with fucking Biff and the big casino, and Come on.
Well, I mean, what,
over the top.
What really changed? I mean, outside of
changed the whole fucking town. People that were just stoners were smoking crack for some reason. Okay.
Because I'm saying, you're saying everything changed. Everything in her life didn't change. I mean, in her family didn't really change. It was everything that would have happened with him taking over the town changed. Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know. To me, it just came off as a little bit unbelievable. That, and I get it. But like Back to the Future did it in a fun way. And this one I just kind of thought was aping that movie a little too much. And it was too much like It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, you've got the fucking bridge scene. You've got the, oh, what would happen if I hadn't been born? And it's like, I knew they were going to kind of go there, but I didn't think they'd go that hard there. So I don't know, man. It just kind of, for me, it crossed that boundary of paying homage and just like stealing from other stuff, you know?
I don't remember It's a Wonderful Life that well enough to point out all the stuff they took from the movie.
I was 30 when it came out, so.
I mean, at least they didn't shoehorn the line of every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Oh, that would have been fucking horrible.
I know. Why was everybody, like, hypnotized? Was it the drugs?
Oh, that was weird. What was that? Was that drugs? Yeah. Or was...
I would have liked to have seen that part where he's like somehow made it so that everyone is like under his spell.
That's where it fell apart for me, because it almost looked like, I don't know if it was me, but it kind of looked like at the end when he's at the little, I don't know, meeting or whatever, it kind of looked like everybody had like this green tint to their eyes. So I thought they were under some spell. Did.
That's what it was, because as soon as she stabbed him, they came out of it.
Yeah.
But why, right? They didn't explain
that. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the part at the end that I didn't get, where it was like, wait, so how did he do that?
That's what I want to know.
I kind of got to everybody doing drugs and stuff because he kind of made it a town where, people are getting murdered. I'm going to figure it out. But until then, you guys can kind of do whatever you want in the town, and I'm just gonna my brother's the sheriff, and he's gonna turn a blind eye to whatever you're doing.
And he puts out his own little mind control meth.
There you go, mind control meth. That's what it was.
I did.
Philip just figured it out.
I did like the look of his costume, though. How he looked like an angel that sits on top of a tree.
Yeah, and the mask was cool, right? Because like kind of a two-way mirror or whatever, where you could see out of it. He could see out of it, but you couldn't see in. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, the character that she ended up befriending, Bernie. Mm-hmm. How is this girl the weirdo? She has
I like her a lot. I want to see her in more shit.
She's kind of cute. She runs the movie theater, so you can watch movies anytime. She wants to be a fashion designer. She knows what she wants to do. But yet she's the weirdo.
I would have rather had Bertha be the main character, because she was more interesting to me than
the main good character. Point. Yeah, good point.
She was a better actor, too.
Main character was pretty fucking boring, wasn't she? Honestly.
Yeah, she was like...
She hammed it up a lot.
And she was just kind of like every girl in, you know, every girl USA, where it was like... I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. That's true.
The more outcast, the more weirdo.
Yes, much better. And much more reason to say I should have never been born, right?
Exactly.
But I do want to see the actress in more shit, because she was fucking awesome. She was like the bright spot in this movie for me. So she can definitely play quirky perfectly. Definitely want to see her again.
All right. I don't have anything else.
All right. Well, I think, it's not like a super, neither movie was like super deep, right? So this was no speak to me, Desmond. So, dude, tell us what is going on, man. Where can the listeners find you?
Yeah. Well, you can find me on YouTube at Desmond's Flicks, and on Instagram, Desmond's Flicks. And yeah, feel free to follow me there. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Talk about horror movies, B-movies, and extreme horror novels. So yeah, come and say a hi. And it was awesome to be back here and chill with you guys and talk about some new horror flicks.
Always good. And it's just Desmond's Flick straight, right? No apostrophe, no space, no dash.
No, it's, yeah, Desmond's Flicks, although it's very queer instead of straight.
All one word, right?
Yeah. It's a little gay.
All right. That's all right. We're cool with that. Long as you get that ornament on your tree every fucking Christmas, we're good, you know, so... That being said, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. We would love to hear your feedback and ideas. You can reach us at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com or go to our Facebook group, Instagram book group, whatever. What else do we have, Brian?
I like you called it Instagram book. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Tumblr. You find us everywhere.
Find us on the Facebird.
you kids and your Facebird and your Instagram. So the real place to go, though, for everything Horror Returns is just simply www.thehorrorreturns.com, and you can go absolutely anywhere from there. Next week, what are we going to check out? More Christmas movies. We're going to cover Await Further Instructions, as well as Host. Okay, Brian, you got some splaining to do. I did not realize I knew Host was a pandemic movie, but is it a Christmas movie?
Yes. Both movies are science fiction, horror-esque Christmas movies.
We haven't done that one?
Cool.
No.
Okay.
First time for everything. It's only an hour-long movie, so that'll be easy to get through. But
it's not that Host.
So glad I asked. Oh fuck. Okay, so which Host are we doing?
I'll send you the link.
All right, good. Woo! Almost watched the wrong movie, Desmond. Ouch. Not that we haven't done that before.
I was like, pandemic movie. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay. Oh, boy, on that note, Philip, until the horror returns again.
Good night.
Damn, I was hoping for a delay, but that's all right. We'll take it.
I finally fucking internet kicks in right at the end of the goddamn thing.
Yes, of course it does.
Movies.
We haven't done that one?
Cool.
No.
Okay.
First time for everything. It's only an hour-long movie, so that'll be easy to get through.
It's not that Host.
Said. Oh, fuck. Okay, so which Host are we doing?
I'll send you the link.
All right, good. Almost watched the wrong movie, Desmond. Ouch. Not that we haven't done that before.
I was like, pandemic movie. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay. Oh, boy, on that note, Philip, until the horror returns again.
Good night.
Damn, I was hoping for a delay, but that's all right. We'll take it.
I finally fucking internet kicks in right at the end of the goddamn thing.
Yes, of course it does.